اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. قيس صلى الله عليه وسلم على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. So these nights we've been talking mainly about this process of self-building that we have to go through. As we mentioned a number of times, and we will continue to mention and explain, what we mean by self-building is doing what is wajib and staying away from what is haram, focusing on this aspect of our religion. Our religion has other aspects. Okay? For example, there are the mustahabbat, there are the good deeds that we do. And we explained why those good deeds are there. Okay, if you remember, we mentioned that some of these mustahabbat, not only are they quote-unquote extra credit, but sometimes they help us with the very basics. Sometimes they help us with doing the wajib and staying away from the haram. And that's why they are very important, not simply important. They're tools that we use to do the wajib and stay away from what is haram. A very simple example of that was the mourning that we do for our imams, for the Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because there's a secret that lies within this whole relationship that we have with the Ahlul Bayt. It lies within that friendship. And we're going to talk about this more later on. But briefly, what friendship does is that once you like someone, and when your relationship goes further than that with that individual, when you love someone, little by little, you turn into that individual. Little by little, everything about you becomes like that individual. Right? Simple example we've all been through. Our children, or ourselves, growing up, right? At a certain age, when kids reach that age where they're in a lot of relationships with their friends, right? What happens is they go to school and they're with their friends, and once they get into a group of friends, because there is a close relationship, right? They have close friends, they become exactly like that friend. And it's so intense that sometimes they want to wear, for example, the same color that my friend is wearing, same shoes that my friend is wearing. I want to talk the way my friend talks, right? And sometimes if that friend, I want to act the way my friend acts. So if he disrespects his father and mother, I'm going to do the same. So that friendship, it gets us to become like that individual who we like, who we love, who we adore. Okay? And that's the key when it comes to our love for the Ahlul Bayt. If we truly love the Ahlul Bayt, us becoming like them should happen automatically. It should happen automatically. Yes, it's not going to happen overnight. That's a different issue. But we should be more moving towards achieving that goal. Okay? So some of the mustahabbat, they help us with what? They help us with the wajibat. And that's why they're so important. We mentioned one tradition the other night, that whoever cries for Imam Hussein, even one drop, all of his sins are forgiven. Why is that? Why is there so much significance? Why is there so much value? There's a reason for it. Now, moving on, this process of self-building that we're talking about has many steps. Has a number of steps. But the first step, as the teachers of Akhlaq say, is takhliya, which means you purify yourself from what you have done. What we know as tawbah. Right? And the essence of tawbah is a very simple thing. Okay? It's repenting. What does repenting mean? That we understand what we did and we decide to not go back to it anymore. Okay, so it's a very basic concept. A couple points when it comes to tawbah. First of all, tawbah is not something one does once in his life. Sometimes when you're with the youth come into a Islamic environment, right? All of a sudden there's a change in his life. Then he makes this promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to change my life from today. Today, you know, from this point on, I'm going to be a different person. Next morning, not going to be doing the stuff I was doing yesterday. And that's a great thing. Making that promise, making that vow, it's a great thing. But we need to understand that tawbah is something that should be there in every day of our life. Why? Because getting rid of the habits that we have is going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. No one's expecting us to take care of it overnight. Someone has an issue with their temper, it's not going to happen overnight. Unless they're very, very strong, that's a different issue. There are people like that, but it's rare. It's going to take time. So if it's going to take time, he's going to fall short during that period. And if he's going to fall short, this tawbah has to be repeated constantly. So it's something that he has to constantly go at. He has to constantly remind himself that this is my priority. I fell short, now I'm going to push for it again. He's going to fall short again. He's going to push for it again. Okay, so it's something that is constant. It's not one vow that we make. Yes, that vow is wonderful. And if someone can make a vow like that and leave the habits that he's had, I take my hat off to him, and that person is a very strong person. Changing habits are not easy. Very difficult. So if someone can do that, alhamdulillah, that's great. But we're talking about someone who's like me, who for him it takes time for him to take care of that habit. That's going to need a constant reminder that this is my priority. I fell short, now I'm going to push for it again. And if we don't have that mindset that it's a constant thing, we're never going to reach that goal. So this was the first point that we're trying to make. When you take a look at the Qur'an, many places in the Qur'an when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about accepting the repentance of His servants, many times in the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ He doesn't say ta'ib. What does ta'ib mean? One who does tawbah, right? One who turns towards His servants, which means He's accepting the repent of His servants, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't say, I am ta'ib. Most occasions, He says what? I'm tawwab. What does tawwab mean? It's done a number of times. It happens a number of times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tawwab, which means that He accepts our repent many, many, many times. So these are habits, they're going to take time. What is important, and what we need to make sure that shaitan doesn't trick us with, is to make this priority number two, number three in our life. That's when we're losing. That's when we're losing. If we fall short, that's okay. But if we feel after 5 times of falling short, after 10 times of falling short, I'm trying to get rid of this habit, after a while I feel like that's not my priority anymore, that's when we're really losing. That's what we really have to watch out for. When we get used to it. Once you get used to it, it's no longer a priority for you. Right? So I have this habit. No, I have this habit, but I have to take care of it. That should be our number one priority. Now, when we talk about tawbah, we're just gonna go through a story that's mentioned in the Quran. Okay, and this story is it's a wonderful story, because the story has many lessons. The most important is how strong people can be when they see the truth. How they can make that decision to put away their habits. This is about the story of, when we talk about tawbah, usually what comes to mind is the story of, for example, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, right? The individual who changed his path at the very last days of his life. That's a wonderful story. But this is a different story. It's a story from the Quran. It's a story about Prophet Musa and the people who were acquainted with the prophets. So the verses explain what happened with Prophet Musa and the Pharaoh. Before I get to the main part of the story, there's one verse that's very nice and we can all reflect on. As you know, Prophet Musa, when he was inviting the Pharaoh to become a better person, to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there were many quote-unquote punishments that were sent down. Right? Like the river turned red. There were other punishments. It's interesting, when you look at the Qur'an doesn't mention them as punishments. Let's take a look at this verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ When the Pharaoh and his people did not listen to us, when they were arrogant, when they showed arrogance, what did we do? We sent down upon them a tufan. What is tufan? A storm. والجراد, grasshoppers. والقُمَّلَ والذَّفَادِعَ I've forgotten what قُمَّل means, but what الذَّفَادِعَ means, what is it? Frogs. Frogs coming from the sky. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الْتُوفَانِ وَالْجَرَادِ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالذَّفَادِعَ وَالدَّمِ Dam means blood, when the river turned red. And these are five huge things. These aren't, think about it, you're walking out one day and all of a sudden the river you see every day, it's turned red. That's not, it's going to be a huge shock. These aren't small things, right? When we go through the story of the Pharaoh, knowing that the Pharaoh was probably the worst person that lived at his time, what we're thinking is that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing him. You don't listen to me, I'm going to punish you again. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالذَّفَادِعَ والدم, but how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it? آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ These were not punishments. What were these? These were ayat. Ayat, but not only ayat. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were not just signs. آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ Mufassal means something that has been, I would say, the parts have been distanced from each other. It can either mean that each one of these that was happening, it was happening, there was a period between them. A period where this individual and the people who are following this individual had the chance to sit down and think about what is happening. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الْتُوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالْذَفَادِعَ آيَاتٍ مُفَصَّلَاتٍ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا Even though that was the case, their arrogance took over. وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ Now before I move on to the story that the Qur'an mentions, this is one simple question. If the Pharaoh, who killed people, who carried out massacres, who oppressed the people, who oppressed the whole nation, who oppressed the Bani Israel for so many years, if the Pharaoh is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down these many signs to him, a terrible person like that. The question is, when we look into our own lives, the only logical conclusion we can draw is that when it comes to us, at least we don't kill people. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would probably send us more signs than him. Think about how many signs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending you and me to come to his path. I think the only logical conclusion is that he's probably sending us multiply these signs by 10. Because we're definitely not as bad as the Pharaoh. The least is that you can say he's sending the same number of signs to us. He's reminding us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't let go of us. I remember my uncle, my brother, he had a daughter just 2-3 years ago. And she was walking around the house. And my uncle was over, and he's not too religious. So my niece, she she went and she was just playing and she picked up a turba. And my uncle saw it. My uncle saw it and he said, "Oh, put down the turba." And we were all surprised. Why should we put down, why should she put down the turba? He said, "You pick up that turba once, it's not going to leave you for the rest of your life. It's going to come back 5 times a day. Put down the turba." That's what it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's so merciful, He won't let go of me and you. He's definitely going to send us signs like that. If He sent down signs as clear as a storm, as clear as the river turning red for the Pharaoh, the least we can say is that He'll do the same for us. We're not as bad as the Pharaoh, at least not now. Okay, now the story that we wanted to get to, and when you go through this story, it's something that it's very inspiring, the story that the Quran mentions. This is the story about the magicians that the Pharaoh employed to do, to so to speak, defeat Prophet Musa. So you know, back then, it was magic. The big thing was magic. The same way during the time of our Prophet, the big thing was literature. Okay, so during the time of Prophet Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his... Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. During the time of our Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his miracle as a miracle of literature. Although the Quran goes far beyond being a miracle of literature. But that was a great aspect of the Quran. During the time of Prophet Musa, the miracle was some sort of magic. So these magicians were probably the most famous and popular people in the kingdom. Wa alaykum as-salam. Why? Because magic was the thing, number one. Number two, these guys were the best at doing this magic. So, we all know the story that Prophet Musa came to the Pharaoh and called him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's interesting, before I move on with the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen, when you're going to talk to the Pharaoh, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. When you're going to talk to the Pharaoh, addressing Prophet Musa and his brother, when you're talking to the Pharaoh, this is the Pharaoh that kills people. When you're going to talk to him, and you're going to call him to my path, قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. What does layyin mean? Lenient, soft. You're talking to the Pharaoh who kills people. If you're calling him to my path, you talk to him with a soft voice, with a soft tone. Yes, if he doesn't accept it, that's a different issue. Okay? That's a different aspect of our religion. And sometimes the use of force is there. It's nothing to hide. Okay? But first approach should always be a kind approach, soft approach, a lenient approach. وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. So Prophet Musa does that, and the Pharaoh, what he does is he talks to people, because Prophet Musa carries out a number of miracles. When people see that, Prophet Musa, the Pharaoh talks to people. He says, listen, these two brothers that are here, don't think that they're concerned with your well-being. They're not concerned with your well-being. They're just trying to take over your land. I'm the king. Now they're coming here to overthrow me. They're not concerned about you. They just want to rule over you. And to prove that they're weak, what we're going to do is we're going to gather all the magicians, all of the best magicians, and then we're going to have sort of a competition. So all of them come, and we know the story of how the magicians, they did their job very well. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. They used the fear of people, and they brought forth a great magic, where people saw in front of their eyes that these sticks are moving. There's no denying it, they're moving. وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. When the Qur'an calls something عَظِيمٍ, it's really big. So this is where Now it's the turn of Prophet Musa to, he has his chance now. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى And we revealed to Musa أَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ Now it's time for you to throw your staff. Right when he threw it, فَإِذَا هِيَ Right when he threw it, تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ It started eating the other sticks. We all know this part of the story where it ate the other snakes. وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And what they did was undone. فَغُلِبُوا هُنَالِكَ وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ These individuals who were the greatest magicians in this kingdom, they were defeated, and they were defeated in a very bad way. They were humiliated. وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ They were humiliated. Now it's interesting, these individuals, now they repent. Look at how they repent. وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ What does أُلْقِيَ mean? أُلْقِيَ means when something falls. أَلْقَى means throwing something, right? You throw something, أَلْقَى. Ulqiya means it fell. It's very interesting how the Quran puts it. It says these individuals, they were after the truth, the magicians. When they saw that what Prophet Musa is doing is not magic, it goes far beyond magic. Ulqiya as-sahara to sajidin. They did not throw themselves to sajda, they fell to sajda. They didn't have any. They didn't have control over this anymore. They fell into sajda. وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ السَّاجِدِينَ قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ We believe in the Lord that you are speaking of. رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ The Lord of Musa and Harun. It's the new. The message is so new that people don't know this new entity as God. What do they know it as? The God of Musa and his brother. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنَ Now what does the Pharaoh do? قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ Too bad. You, the Pharaoh is talking. He said, you believed in Musa and his brother before I allowed you to do so. That wasn't our agreement. It's earlier during the day, before the competition started, these magicians, they all gathered around the Pharaoh. Why? Because they know they could make a lot of money through the Pharaoh, right? If they could defeat Prophet Musa, it's a big thing. So they gathered around the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh said that if you can beat them, it's interesting. The Pharaoh doesn't mention anything in particular. He doesn't say, I'll give you a house. He doesn't say, I'll give you this, I'll give you money. No, he says, you will be amongst the close people to me. Think about that. That's the biggest reward you can get from anyone who has power. If you are close to that individual, that means everything else comes with it. Right? It's not one thing. He's not going to give you a house. He's not going to give you anything in particular. You're going to be close to me. If that person is an influential figure, you're good for life. This is what the Pharaoh had promised them. All of a sudden, they fell to sajda. The Pharaoh says, this wasn't our agreement. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ You believed in him before I even allowed you. You guys didn't even ask for permission to do that. إِنَّ هَذَا لَمَكْرٌ مَكَرْتُمُوهُ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ لِتُخْرِجُوا مِنْهَا أَهْلَهَا You know what? You guys, this was a plot. It was a plot because you wanted to rule over people. You wanted to overthrow the people of this land. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ You'll know. I'll teach you a lesson. لَأُقَطِعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ Now that you've done this, and you've done it in front of all these people, now everyone knows that Prophet Musa's message is the right message. Now that you've done this, لَأُقَطِعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ What does مِنْ خِلَافٍ mean? From opposite sides. You're going to cut your hands off, your arms off, and your legs. One from the right and one from the left. ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then I'm going to put all of you up on the cross. Don't forget, these are the magicians that were coming, so to speak, to work today. Happy that they're going to make money. They're going to make a huge amount of wealth today. What is their reaction when they hear this from the Pharaoh? قَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ. We're going back to our Lord. Please recite salawat. And now, because they knew that that was their destiny, there is no talking the Pharaoh out of what he decides to do because of his arrogance. What they tell the Pharaoh, this is the last sentence that the Quran mentions about the magicians. وَمَا تَنْقِمُ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا. The only reason why you're doing this, by the way, it's not because we're bad people, it's because we believed in the signs that our Lord sent us. لَمَّا جَاءَتْنَا. And one phrase they say, and that's it. Magicians are gone. They've become shuhada.
رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ.
Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the patience and make sure that when we're leaving this world, we're leaving on the right path. And that's it. Now when you look at a story like that, it's unbelievable how someone waking up in the morning, none of these magicians ever thought they would ever come close to anything like becoming shaheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not one of them. What were they going for? They were going to defeat this new guy who is claiming to be the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to go, we're going to defeat him, and we're going to go get that wealth. We're going to get closer to the Pharaoh. That means everything. In the morning, that's where they were at. In the afternoon, they were amongst the shuhada. It's unbelievable. So when we speak of Tawbah, this is just one of those stories that when I think about it, it gives me so much more strength to stick to the Tawbah I've done. If I promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay away from something, and it's difficult, I remind myself of this story. It gives me strength. Of if they were able to make a sacrifice like that, then I better be able to make a sacrifice of staying away from a habit that I have. If I have a habit of backbiting, it's nowhere near what they went through. What they went through was their arms and legs were cut off. That's what they went through. They were killed. That's what they went through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not wanted that from me. Not up until now. What does He want from me? He wants from me that when I go home, I have a good temper with my family. How difficult can that be? He wants from me that I can control myself. I can control my impulses. We need to remind ourselves of these individuals. And when we do that, then when it comes to us changing ourselves and us doing Tawbah, it'll be a lot easier. I remember a friend of mine would always mention that he would do, so to speak, Dawah. Go around, speak about Islam and call people to Islam. And he always told me that, you know, a lot of times people ask me, they're like, how many people did you make Muslim? Or how many people did you make Shia? It's the first question that comes to their mind. Oh, you speak? How many people have done the Shahadatain in front of you? And that friend of mine, he says that, yeah, some people have done that. And it was because of what I told them about Islam. And you know. But he always says, it's funny how we expect other people to leave their own religion, to live the religion they grew up with, to live the religion their family has, sometimes the religion their whole society has, It's funny how we expect them to leave their religion, but when it comes to ourselves, we're not able to progress, to make a little bit of progress with ourselves. We're expecting, for example, a person to convert. You know, when a person converts, their whole life changes. It's no joke. It's not the life you lived yesterday. You know, take for example, if we're Muslims, right? Think of it. Tomorrow, you're a Buddhist. You're changing religions. It's a whole new world to you. It's a huge change. We expect everyone else to do that, right? Ask anyone. You see a Christian? I talked about Islam to him. I explained to him. Yeah, and he should be converting soon. You expect that from him. You expect him to change his whole world, his whole life. But when it comes to yourself, you don't expect yourself to make a little bit of progress with some of the habits you have? How is that even possible? So, if we expect that from other individuals, let's take a look at our own lives as well and see where we stand, right? If that person is converting from another religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made it that difficult for us. He's asking for something smaller. Let's do that smaller thing. What is that smaller thing? The wajib and the haram. The first step of which we mentioned today, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah tomorrow night, we'll explain more how we can incorporate this in our life, where every single act we do, before it, we think of whether it's permissible or it's not permissible. So that inshallah, we live a life where the wajib and the haram are actually being taken care of in our life, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us repent from our sins and inshallah stay away from them. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam, and we also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees our brothers and sisters from their pain and agony around the world, inshallah. Please recite Allah's salawat.